Welcome, everyone. This is Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, your independent streaming internet radio station and libertarian voice, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you live on Thursday, January 11th, 2007. Happy New Year. During our broadcast, you may reach us via AIM phone at area code 903-551-2186. If you are listening via our blog talk radio website, simply dial the number on the screen. At any time, please send your comments and questions to comments@libertytalkradio.com. We'd love to hear from you, and we'll try to answer your questions during our next broadcast. Folks, this station is your antidote to popular talk radio, where you are expected to do more than just listen. You are expected to think. Although we broadcast from the United States, libertarian principles of individual freedom and responsibility are universal and apply to your area of residence, be it New York, Bangkok, Berlin, Rome, Paris, or Stalingrad. We must take back control of our government before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. It's time to shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And this program is just about that. Good morning, everyone. That's my standard introduction, which I get criticized since it's too long. And I probably should shorten a little bit, but it says exactly what I mean to say. I would like this morning to talk again in somewhat generalities. I am somewhat criticized because I do not talk or discuss the very specific issues or the people who are determining the fate of those issues on the air. And I need to explain why. It would be just all too easy to take one of the myriad issues on the floor, both in Congress and in our Senate, both locally and in the federal government, and have an entire program on it. The problem with that is that we never have a fundamental base from which we make decisions, from which we know where we are. It does us no good, for example, to just discuss an issue of whether or not certain fundings should be provided for a particular program, and whether or not this senator or this congressman should be opposed or should be trumpeting that cause. The reason for that is that what we need is an education as to what our liberties are. And the problem that I see in every conversation is that we talk about the issues and there's no fundamental basis from which people are discussing those issues. Yeah, and I'll give you a very plain example, and I've used this example in ad nauseum. You're going to hear it again. The minimum wage issue. Should we increase the minimum wage or maintain it at the $5.15 an hour as it is now from the federal level? That is not the question. The question is fundamentally, from a liberty point of view, from a constitutional point of view, from a freedom point of view, from an individual rights point of view, from a pursuit of happiness point of view, do we want the government regulating wages? Now, folks, that's a yes or no answer. That's not a, oh, no, absolutely not. However, when it comes to people who are not making a, no, it's either a yes or no answer. And this program is attempting to alter your mindset so that instead of thinking about the issue, that we think about the fundamental principle behind the issue. And that therein lies the problem. If you want to listen about issues, you can listen to any one of the, I guess, what they call the more liberal or the more conservative talk show programs that will discuss an issue and fits their ideology and prove beyond a shadow of a doubt this is what should be done. This station is not about that. Now, I sound frustrated because most of my friends, most of my very close friends, are not libertarians. In fact, they think libertarians are strange people. They've said this. I mean, I'm talking bright people. I mean, very bright people. Admittedly, a lot brighter than I am. A lot better schooled than I am. A lot more worldly than I am. And they, in fact, will say things like, well, I guess you just want people running in the street doing whatever they want, killing and pillaging and taking and doing whatever in total chaos, and you're really for anarchy, aren't you? Oh my goodness gracious, no matter what I say, this is the end result I get. So discussing issues is to no avail. If you want to listen to issues, click off this station now, and you can listen to KFAQ on AM radio, and they'll talk the issues, and they'll have people calling in who sound, I'll be honest with you, sound like absolute abject idiots, you know, saying, oh yeah, Bob, I agree with you, we should nuke those guys, you know, all that crap. If you like that crap, you're listening to the wrong radio station. Now, admittedly, sometimes I have my facts wrong. I may have a statistic wrong. Historically, I may be wrong. This is when I need you to come back and say, hey, Joe, that didn't happen in 1875. It happened in 1975. Please correct me. I'm not perfect, and neither do I know a hell of a lot. I know just enough to be dangerous, and this is why I have this radio program. And I hope that I can learn from you as much as you can learn from me. I hope we can all understand that. Now, if I sound angry, I'm not angry. I'm being emphatic. And I want to make sure that this is what we all understand. I listen to many radio programs during the week just as tests. And I have to admit that most of them are garbage. Some are very professionally done. Some are affiliated with networks. But they're garbage. They talk about garbage. They have a lot of commercials. People calling in, hey, Bob, you know what I think? And I think, you know, we should do that. And we should do that. And I put you all the way there, Bob. Yeah, you know, love your program. You know, and we listen to this all day long. And after a while, guess how we start thinking? Well, Bob, I guess I think you're all the way. Yeah, let's nuke them, you know. And we start actually thinking that way. Now, I don't know why I had to harp on this, but I keep on getting the same response back again. Libertarians want a rule of order. In other words, the federal government has one and only one purpose, and that is to protect your rights, your liberties, and your freedom. The Constitution made provision for a militia in the event that the federal government became abusive and the militia was a way for states to secede from the Union or force the federal government, the people in the federal government, to relinquish their position so they can replace them with people who, listen carefully, who will defend the Constitution. We don't do that. We only elect people who will bastardize the Constitution. History is on my side. There is no one, absolutely no one, who can debate that. That's indisputable. I want to give you an example before we get on to the main part of our program, because I want to talk about an article that I read from Thomas Friedman back in 1989, him and his wife Rose. I mean, the man is absolutely remarkable. I looked at the you know, we say we were endowed by a creator with inalienable rights. And I said, well, geez, that's nice. It's always sounded good to me. And what does that mean? What does that really mean? Does anyone out there know what inalienable rights mean? I can't even pronounce the word. Well, I went to the dictionary, and basically all the answers were the same, right? The answers were the same to that. Inalienable rights, I'm sorry, my tongue is screwed up this morning, right? Means that rights that cannot be taken away, not possible. But think about that for a minute. If we have rights that cannot be taken away, how come our rights are being taken away? You see, our forefathers were absolutely brilliant and selfish in a way. They knew that a truly free society would prosper, and they were good businessmen. And they weren't stupid. They didn't do it because, oh, we think it's a nice thing to do. Oh, let's all be nice and friendly. No. And they knew there were going to be bumps in the road. And they made provisions for that in the Constitution. And for the most part, they did a remarkable job. There is no document in the world by any country, if you go back 4,000 years, that can approach the effectiveness of our Constitution in creating a totally free society. And you know what we do every day? We bastardize that Constitution. We rip it apart. We change it. It's a living document. It ain't a living document. It says what it says. Inalienable rights is not a living clause. It's not something that we change. Well, you're sort of, you know, it's people who are what I would call, like, most of my best friends, my closest friends, are not, like I said, not libertarians. They are progressives. And it sounds so good. I'm a progressive. I want to progress. I want society to progress. They want living documents. They want inalienable rights to be sort of inalienable rights, but not too inalienable, but just the right amount. And if we could only get the government to tell us what that means, life would be happy again. Life would be wonderful. Most of my friends are progressives, and my closest friends. And we talk once, very rarely, but we do talk once in a while, and I have a lot of fun with them. Because I say, why don't you guys be honest with yourselves? I would be a progressive, but the only problem with the progressive movement is not progressive enough. Once you become progressive enough, you become a libertarian, and they are afraid to go there. Now, let me redefine progressive. Progressive is the same as collective. Collectivism. They don't like that word because collectivism sounds like you're taking things from other people, which you are. But progressive sounds better. Let me give you a better name for a progressive. A socialist. There is no difference. What's the difference between being a socialist, giving what you own to somebody, and that person equalizing those efforts, your efforts, among everyone, even those that are totally undeserving, by some sort of central bureaucracy? Hey, collectivism. Hey, progressivism. Hey, socialism. In fact, I am going to go, excuse me, I'm going to take a swig of coffee. This is really early in the morning. No, it's not early in the morning. I'm usually up at 5 o'clock. Thank you. I need a little bit more caffeine, you know. Let me redefine our progressivism, which is really socialism. It's a democratic social government, a socialist government. The socialist democrat in Germany, remember them? Yeah, all right, we got the same thing here. But we're going to be a lot more socialist than them soon. Oh, we're down that road. Let me redefine that again. I call my friends communist light. Oh boy, that really gets to them. And I say, what's wrong? You want a strong federal government telling me what the heck to do. You are a communist. Not a full communist, because, you know, you're not going to, you know, you will have guns. The government, if I don't abide by the government, if I don't fill out certain forms, the government will come to my doorstep and those men will be armed. That happened once when I refused to complete the survey for the census. And I don't mean the census. I mean, they sent me a book They want to know everything about me, you know? Do you change your underwear at least 3 times a week? They wanted to know everything. And I called. I said, this is ridiculous. I'm not going to give you this. They said, we will come to your door. They told me that. They threatened me. We will come to your door. Now, you think they would come to the door unarmed? Hell, you know they would. So don't tell me we don't have a communist-light government. So from now on, my collectivist friends who are like to be called progressives, who are really socialist, but I prefer to call them communist-light, so it really hits them between the eyes. All right, now that we're there. Now, where are we on this wave? When America was formed, I had some notes here. I want to follow. I can see if, for the first time, I see if I can follow my own notes. Our Constitution is based on self-reliance, self-personal responsibility. Let me say this again. It's something that you never hear, and you never hear from a politician. That's self-reliance and personal responsibility. If we had that, folks, guess what? The problems we had with aftermath of Katrina would not exist today. Right? Am I saying that the government should not have done a thing? That's exactly what I'm saying. But what was important is that people should have known before that hit. They should have known. They said, you know, there is absolutely no one that's going to bail us out of this other than myself and maybe my neighbor if we can help each other out. So I better do something. We wouldn't have the problems we have today. And don't argue with me on that one. That one I'm right on. And look at the aftermath of Katrina. The aftermath of Katrina is worse than the storm itself. And we're still billions of dollars away from even a solution, even knowing what a solution is. As a young nation, we were all libertarians. Would you believe that? We were all libertarians. We weren't Republicans or Democrats or socialists or progressives. We were all libertarians. In fact, most states said you had to own a gun. If you didn't own a gun, you got out of the state. Because the states had to be protected from an abusive federal government. The militia was in charge. And I know we think militia, we think of people in the streets, you know, wackos, you know, skinheads. I don't mean that. I'm talking about regular people, you know, regular family people. Even during the Great Depression, most people refused public assistance or any kind of handout. They thought it immoral, wrong, creating a society of weak, the dependent people. People were proud of who they were and what they did and what they accomplished, and they wanted to stand on their own 2 feet. Some would rather literally starve than take a handout. Compare that with today. We sit there and we ask for the handout before we're even hungry. In 1933, now this is not exactly ancient history, government spending, now hold on to your seats. You better be sitting down and put a seatbelt on. Government spending in 1933 was 3.2% of national income. And by the way, that was high. In the years before and after that, it was below 3%. There were no taxes. Revenues were garnered from tariffs and customs. When I went traveling recently, I went to a state, and it was Wyoming was one, and I'm not sure what state I was in. And I bought something for I think a dollar, you know, at one of the tourist places, you know, on the highway. And we stopped, and I got a map, and I just bought a couple of things, you know, that was traveling up to through Wyoming. And this is only a month or so, two months ago. And I gave the woman, I think it was $1.99 or something, whatever it was. I gave her $1.99, but I gave her $3. And she said, and she gave me $1 back. And I said, well, didn't I give you $3? She said, yes. She says $1.99. I said, what about the tax? She says, there is no tax. I walked out. My wires went. You know, I said, wow. I mean, $1.99, it cost $1.99. I couldn't believe it. That's how things were. Do you know when you earned money back then, when you earned your income, and let's just say you earned equivalent to $800 a week, for example, you took home $800 a week. Today you have to make near a third more of that, maybe 50% more than that, to take home that amount of money. Now, here's a surprising fact. During all that time, our government and our economy grew to unprecedented levels. We have never reached those levels again. Oh, yeah, we libertarians, there was anarchy in the street, people running all over the place, stealing. No, there wasn't. It didn't happen. People took care of themselves. Government spending to national income at the height of the laissez-faire period was always less than 10%. Most years it was less than 3%, with half of that going to the military. We had remarkable growth, never to be repeated. We were the mecca of the poor from all lands. We took in everybody. There was no quotas, no nothing. You want to come? Come. And we had no problem with that. You see, a severely limited government had very, very few favors to give. Think about that. This is Tom Friedman. Severely limited government. I'm not Thomas. I'm sorry. Milton Friedman. I said Thomas twice. I meant Milton Friedman. I'm awfully sorry. Thomas Friedman is another guy who writes books on the same subject. He wrote the book The Earth is Flat and many others. He's very good. There are very, very few favors to give. Hence, there is little incentive to corrupt the government officials in government service. Because there's few attractions for people intent on personal enrichment. But now we have a gigantic government where everything's got to go through government. And guess what? Corruption. We got the Department of Education. We got the OSHA. We have EPA. We have the National Endowment for the Arts, the National Endowment for the Humanities. Crap, we have it. We have a department. Ayn Rand called this shot many years ago, actually named the departments that the government would have, you know, just at a guess, and she was right on every one of them. And it basically started with FDR. I'm going to say something, one quick thing about FDR. You never hear about him anymore. You ever notice that you never hear anyone reference FDR? Never. Very rarely. You know why? Because with the Freedom of Information Act, it's been determined and proved and documented that FDR had a lot to do. Oh, no, I shouldn't say that. Let me put it this way. Let me put it this way kindly. I said, because of his involvement in the attack on Pearl Harbor. And history will treat him relatively harshly. But we don't talk about FBR anymore because that subject will come up and the government doesn't know how to handle it. And they don't know how to handle it through the history books. But I'll end that there. I don't want to go there, right? By 1980s, federal spending was over 40% of national income. You see, we went from libertarian or liberty form of government. Now we're going to collective. Now we're in the midst, which is sort of right in the midst of a collectivist form of government. In 1980s, federal spending was over 40% of national income. And this doesn't tell the whole story because there were many more intrusions in quotas, price controls, wage controls, zoning regulations, building codes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all of which are not considered in this cost of government. Now, I don't have the exact figure today, but I suspect we're well over 55%. We're well over 55% of national income. The question is, how much is too much? How much is too much? Is it 60%? 65? 75? 100? You have to start being honest with yourself. You have to be honest with yourself. And as I tell people all the time, You don't have to be honest with me. Just be honest with yourself. Anyway, where are we now? The great hopes of the collectivist in Russia, in China, were greatly demolished now that they are leaning towards a, not so much a democratic, and let's not confuse a democratic form of government with a capitalistic form of government. You know, you don't have to have a democracy and you can have 100% freedom. You can have a democracy and have no freedom at all. We can elect our officials in a democratic form, in a democratic manner, and those officials can strip us of all of our rights, all of our liberties, take all of our money, and then have elections again and we can reelect them. Now you say that wouldn't happen. That's what we do. That's what we do. That's why I don't want to talk about issues. I want to talk about what we do. And so now even newspapers, according to Milton Friedman, like The Nation, which was sort of a left-leaning paper, if you will, a collectivist progressive paper, is now sort of leaning the other way a little bit. And we find that there are many things that were part of the federal government, Civil Aeronautics Administration, that's gone, deregulation of the airlines. We see that we are, it's starting to take hold that maybe this communist light ain't going to work very well. And we're starting to see cracks. We went from the libertarian form of government to highly collective. We're still getting there, and we're still increasing in some manners, but we're starting to see cracks in that. And it may take a couple of generations for us to see a real downturn. Listen to this radio now, this radio station. What are we talking about? Collectivism? Oh, no. I'm part of that. I hope I'm making that little crack. And I'm not asking anyone for money, and there are no commercials. But I want to be part of that movement. I want to just keep on pushing in that direction, and pushing in that direction, and pushing in that direction, until we become free again. I will not live to see that day, unfortunately. Now, it's no guarantee. We may go to complete whatever, you know, a different form of government, maybe have a total collapse. You have to understand that history is replete with tyranny, servitude, and misery. And we're sort of going in that direction. Free people are not affected by tyranny, servitude, and misery, are they? They don't go together. But strong central abusive governments, tyranny, servitude, misery. So I'm glad we're sort of turning the corner slightly. But it's going to take a change in our own mentality. We have now only, a minute or two, and I don't want to be shut off, because the last time I was shut off, I didn't get to read any emails. I promise I will do the emails on Sunday evening. I will do emails on Sunday evening, and I hope to have some of these computer stuff worked out. Okay, so I'm going to say good morning to everyone, and conclude this broadcast. I hope you enjoyed it. Please send me your comments. I mean, I say that I'm starting to get more and more, and I appreciate that. I love your comments, and I really will answer them. But I'd like to have time to do it. I'd like to have time. There's a couple that I have that's going to take almost a broadcast just to answer. I don't want to give an answer sort of like Bill O'Reilly, you know, blah, blah, and there's three or four words. I want to discuss that because this is what this station is intended to do. Okay? I'm going to put on our song, and I know our song does not play very well with the Blog Talk Radio, but we'll fix that in the next week or two. Okay? This is the end of today's broadcast. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends. And please direct your comments and your questions to comments@libertytalkradio.com. Next broadcast will be Sunday, 8:30 p.m. We'll be talking, the subject will be liberty. Is this a zero-sum game? Please listen in. And until next time, stay well. Stay tuned.
Yeah.